Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, September 21st, and we're back here. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Sam.
Low Rachel.
I actually
straight
did not,
Rachel.
I did not consume cannabis before the show today.
I'm shocked.
I know.
I'm shocked.
I had a late night. I had a show last night, and I had to be up early to move my car out of my garage because it was getting repainted. I don't know. They were doing stuff, so I didn't get to do my morning ritual like I normally do.
Oh, well.
I'm here.
It's funny how you can squeeze a joint.
I feel like I'm a little hungover, though. I had two tequilas last night, which is, a lot for me. I'm feeling it. That's why I'm drinking tea and not coffee.
Yeah. So you had a comedy show last night.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go? Was it pretty
really
nice?
I did really well. I'm doing my new material and stuff and things that I've just like been working out recently and trying new stuff. And I'm getting, my sets are becoming longer. So it's cool to see that. Like there wasn't a moment of like, there were no...
like pauses.
Yeah, I just kept them laughing for like 7 minutes, which
was
really good.
Wow, Rachel, there you go.
And then I had to introduce someone who's on Conan after me, so I'm glad I went before, not after.
Do you think it really matters, though? I mean, if you go before or after, who cares?
I mean,
you know?
It doesn't matter to the audience, but to the comic, you typically want to go. I mean, a newer comic for me, I would prefer to go before.
A better comic,
just because, you know.
Yeah, that's why they usually keep the headliners for the end, right? If you have a headliner.
They put like, I mean, there's every booker and is different,
right.
You know, in the order in which they put people. It depends on the show. Typically, you know, you want to spread strong people throughout and spring, but it depends,
right.
You know.
So. Exactly, depends who it is and how they view everything, you know. So this is cool. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by a guest who Rachel brought yet once again.
Mm-hmm.
She just goes and finds people on the street.
Off the street.
And brings them to our show.
I hold up a sign. I'm like, not homeless. Just come on my radio station.
Exactly. Just grab someone from the hallway.
Not homeless.
We used to do that.
Not homeless.
When we started the station.
But we'll
you know?
Take free weed.
Yeah.
Free guests.
Anybody is invited. But no, a very cool guy that I got to meet for just a minute, but we'll get to know more of him in a few minutes. To remind everybody, today is Thursday, so after this show, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere because you get Rachel and Olivia doing the Bud.
Light up and listen. I'm going to take that tagline you created. That was a pretty good thing.
I didn't even remember it. But yeah, light up and listen, you know. Take your edible, vape, whatever you need to do, you know. But just be in a good mood. And if you're an angry person, you definitely need some weed and to mellow you out, you
100%.
Know, because that's how it works, man. And I keep telling people that, but they don't listen to me. So
that's their problem.
I know. So a couple of, I guess we have a storm that's still going on. You know, I can't stop and stop thinking about earthquakes and dreaming about them. And I'm getting pretty fucking scared. I'm thinking of moving to Vegas. You know that when the Northridge quake happened, I had moved my whole family to Vegas a week before. It's not like we knew it was going to happen.
Did we talk about this? You lived in Vegas?
I lived in Vegas twice in the 70s.
So this is going to become Las Vegas talk radio?
No, not really. I'm not really moving, but you know.
I saw an article on LA Times yesterday. It was like, what to expect from an 8.4 earthquake? It's not going to be good. I'm like, why the fuck? What kind of clickbait is this?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why not? Here are the steps you can take to protect you and your family. It's like, what to expect before your impending doom? I'm like,
I don't know. It could be bad.
I think though, like the structures here are a lot more stable.
But it depends how strong it's going
to
be.
I just looked to my boyfriend and I just said, promise you'll come look for me under the rubble. I don't know. I just, please, don't leave me there.
But that was
I was like, promise you'll get up. Like, promise you'll, like.
I know. And you know what? I remember the Northridge earthquake, the one of the bridges fell, broke, and that was the way I would have taken to Vegas to drive. At that time, I would drive back and forth every weekend to see my kids because they were here. I lived there for a while.
Yeah,
so that was like a pain in the ass, but I had to do this. And so, like I said, we had moved the week before that, and then the earthquake hit, and I thought, wow, you know, I could have been there, you know. So
yeah.
Our house got a little cracked, but that was about it. I don't think anybody was unscathed by that one.
Yeah.
You know, that was bad. But at any rate, I'm not looking forward to any earthquakes. I'm sure nobody is.
They predict like 20,000 people to be injured and like or something crazy. Like numbers or I don't know. I'm just spewing out.
The only thing that's encouraging is that you have people coming looking for you, you know. I mean, it's not like, you know, if you're a victim and you're stuck somewhere, you get first responders and they go from house to house just like they do during the hurricane. Yeah. You know, but a lot of buildings are going to be destroyed. People buried
under
them.
Maybe if it happens on the first, my rent will get cheaper.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
like what could I look forward to here? Cheaper rent.
Yeah. So, so that's happening. Let's see. Oh, Bill Gates. This is funny. He says, "I'm sorry about the Control Alt Delete." that three key combination.
Why is he so sorry for that?
Because everybody hates that it's three keys.
What an idiot. You have to push it at the same time.
Right. And so what I thought was maybe the reason they did this is so nobody would turn off the computer by mistake or something. But what Bill Gates says, he says he's sorry about this annoying way to log into your computer. And that's, by the way, also a way to get the computer when it freezes.
Yeah.
To sort of like, it used to be used a lot more than now, you know, now things don't.
Yeah, I don't. Well, on Mac, it's different.
Right.
You know,
yeah, it is
different.
I don't
even use those three buttons.
I know, it's a different one. And on the Mac, actually, you can turn it off with one button.
Right, because Mac users are like obviously superior to non Mac
users. Or maybe they're not as sophisticated.
We can just handle the one button.
It depends how you look at it. But so he says apparently the interesting thing is why. And he says we could have had a single button, but the guy who did the IBM keyboard design didn't want to give us our single button. So they got three. And that's what we got, you know. But do you remember a time before Windows existed? No.
I do, actually. I do.
Really?
Not as young as you.
DOS. Yes. Remember DOS?
Yes.
But you were young at that time. Come on, I'm not saying you weren't born.
I was using computers at a very young age.
Okay.
Hello, putt-putt.
That's true. We talked about putt-putt. Awesome. All right. Well, so that's it. We'll continue talking about other shit while we bring our guest on the line. So bring him online or whatever.
Do you want me to introduce him?
Please.
Okay. So I love our guest today. Aww. He's amazing. He's kind of he hasn't accepted it yet, but he's a mentor to me.
I always tell him this.
Really?
Yeah. He is because I met him when I first started doing comedy, he immediately took me under his wing and gave me a shot at some shows. And
that's cool.
Which he didn't have to do. Hopefully, I didn't embarrass him.
No, you did great.
But he's a super funny comic, and I love his story and what he's about. And his name is Kirk Smith. And
hey, Kirk Smith, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I really appreciate it.
Of course. Like I said to you before, Rachel always brings cool people here. So we always look forward to that. You know? So there you go. Well, we'll judge that at the end of the show. We don't know how cool
so
you are.
Far.
Yeah,
we'll see.
So far.
Yeah.
But as long as you're happy and you have this good mood, that's all that matters,
man. It's going to work out.
It'll be a good show. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Tell us a little bit about what do you do? You're a comedian, right?
Yeah, I tell jokes to drunk strangers usually. That's my job, yeah.
Is that fun for you?
Yeah, I like it. I like the reason I like it sounds so stupid, but I just like making people happy. It's just nice. You make them happy for just a little bit.
That's true, right?
Yeah just for it's like a little pill.
Mm-hmm. Is that really what drove you into comedy? Really? But the attention too, right? You like in the when people laugh when you talk and things.
Yeah,
like
I don't.
That, right?
I mean, the attention's okay, but I think it's. I don't. It's there's something. This is gonna sound like I'm a crazy person, but there's something powerful about. okay, now make me laugh. And yeah. you do.
Right, yeah. right. That's true. True, yeah.
I showed up, you know, like people show up, I had a hard week, I had a hard day, my dad just died, whatever. Like, people go to comedy clubs to laugh. Like, a lot of people, they just need
as
it.
As a release, yeah.
As a release, yeah. If there's 300 people there, 20 are going through something horrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then for an hour, they're going to forget.
Mm-hmm. That's true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying, it can't be all altruistic. After all, you got to make a living and all that.
I still got to
make
money.
So when you make a you got to make a choice in that thing. So are you living off of this now?
Barely, but yes.
Yes. Okay, but at least you're a pro, you know?
That's
so
it.
That's good.
I tour a little bit. I do a little bit. This summer, I did the Edinburgh Comedy Festival. In Scotland, the big one. That's the big comedy festival. And
said that's 20 days. It's a 20.
It's August 23rd through August 27th. So what is that? 23,
he did 90 shows.
I did 90 shows.
That's insane.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
For a festival.
Yeah.
And it's probably more or less the same one, no?
Yeah, I probably, in that show, I had probably an hour and a half of material, and I did 51-hour shows. So you kind of pick and choose. You do a little bit of crowd work, which is going to be different, and you do a little bit of... You know, if something happens, but yeah, most of it, 80%, 70% be the same. Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed. That's a lot. That's a lot of shows, and especially when you have to repeat the same stuff.
You forget
over
what
over,
you
right?
said
exactly, or it doesn't mean as much anymore to you.
That's the
because
acting.
You're right. Exactly. That's where it comes in. Because if you have to tell the same joke for 10 times, it's not going to be funny to you anymore. But you tell it as you would always tell it, and you expect them to laugh.
Right.
Right.
That's why it's hard.
You know. You know. Which jokes are probably going to work. So you want the audience to have a good time. So that's typically when you're going to want to use the jokes that are the strongest that you've been doing. Probably,
right, exactly. You know? I think about that also with concerts and stuff. You know, I mean, musicians also have to play the same song a million fucking times over, 20, 30 years. You get tired of it, you know?
Yeah.
I hate when people play new music that I don't know the words to. I'm not going to lie. When they're like, we're going to try a new song. Like, I'm not the one who's cheering. I'm like, I don't know the words.
I know. The new songs are usually because they want it.
Right.
You know? We go there, we want the original old songs.
I paid you
classic.
To entertain me.
Right.
Do your old shit.
And they're tired of it. You know? Yeah. So tell me something. How did you end up in comedy? What were you doing before that?
I was doing charity work. I had a corporate job for about 10 years, and then I did. I worked for a nonprofit raising funds for. I grew up overseas, mostly in Ecuador. So I worked for about 8 years for a school, fundraising for a school. And then I have a severely disabled kid. And then I was my late wife at the time got cancer. And I think a lot of people have something hard that pushes them into comedy. Like it gives them
fuck,
a little,
that's hard.
Yeah, it gives
that's
them a little
hard.
Boost. Yeah.
What you went through is hard. So let me ask you this. So corporate job, what were you doing there?
I did like account management for like a relocation company, like real estate.
Okay.
So just talk.
I got fired from my account managing job.
I can't see you in the company. I'm sorry.
Well, like I took the job, but it was like, I have a joke about this, but like, you know, when you start a job, you already know you're going to get fired from. Like right. That was one of those jobs. I was like,
this job.
Is, yeah. But I needed, you know, everyone was all excited. I got a job in LA, but I was like, this is terrible.
What was it for? Can you say?
A video game advertising agency, which I'm like, I fucking hate video games.
Yeah, what am I doing here?
What the fuck am I doing here? they came and approached me on LinkedIn, so I was like, this is what you want, you know?
Right?
Like,
wow.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what minefield you're walking into.
Exactly. Oh, man. I think that was probably one of the worst jobs I ever. I don't know how people like
that.
How'd
you get fired? We got to know details.
It was one of those where they came. They liked me. They really did. They liked me.
Well, of course, they hired you.
And they came to me and were like, you know, we're going to see if there are other places for you here. And then I was like, fuck. I mean, one, I hate video games. Two, like, it was a... I was getting picked on for like my clothing, you know what I mean? Like I had like a bra strap showing when I was wearing a tank. Like it was just like not the right environment for me. And and so like thankfully, weirdly enough, I got really sick. Like I got like severe strep throat because this job stressed me the fuck out. I mean, I was getting phone calls. I was having to transfer files to like not Microsoft, but like some big video game, you know, like, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. So it was one of those where I'm like, I'm sick. And I just like never came back, you know? So that's kind of what happened. <That's funny>. I kind of fired myself.
Yeah,
you know?
You get reassigned. We got to find you a different job, you know?
Yeah.
That's funny. Wow.
How do you feel about cleaning toilets?
Yeah, they're like, well, yeah, exactly. What are your thoughts on the kitchen? And I'm like, I have a degree. Like,
so you lived in Ecuador for a long time.
Yeah.
Where were you born?
I was born in a little part of Mexico called Watsonville, California. And
see,
Northern Mexico.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like an immigrant farming community. And then as a child, we in the 70s, we moved down. I'm a little older than I look. And we moved down to El Salvador and then Ecuador. Yeah.
So. The best part is you'll be at shows. And you'll see Kirk, like, all of a sudden, like, break out into Spanish. And I'm like,
Spanish is my first language, I'm which like, is confusing.
It does not look like he speaks fluent Spanish, but
well, it's confusing because I'm 6'2 and I have blue eyes, which means I'm from the Border Patrol.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Part of me wants to entertain you. Part of me wants to check all your documentation.
100%. That's hilarious.
That's true. So is your background Hispanic then?
No, my parents are missionaries, so I'm just a white guy.
I see. So they're missionaries. That's why you moved.
That's it.
Is your family is still in Ecuador now?
Yeah, my parents will die there. My dad loves it, and my mom loves.
You
my
look
dad.
Just like your dad. I saw pictures. I was like, oh my god, this is older Kirk. I mean,
slightly taller.
You guys
that's it.
All look the same. Strong genes in that family.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys want to see Kirk, go to KirkSmithComedian.com. You're sporting a beard here and everything.
Oh yeah,
movie star look. You know?
Oh yeah, there you go. Very Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's cool, man. That's how you gotta be. You know, a picture of you with your son. I see. You wrote a book, right?
Yeah, I have a severely autistic son, and he's severely disabled, has a lot of issues, and so when he was diagnosed, he's 18 now. So this is a while ago. I had a really hard time with it, and so. And I use humor a lot to cope and express myself. So I was looking for something like that, a humor book about autism, just to learn and laugh. And there wasn't anything. And so then I thought, oh, maybe I'll write something. And so that's how that happened. Yeah.
Oh, cool. The book is Rice Krispies with Ketchup.
That's right.
Yeah. That sounds delicious, actually.
A lot of autistic kids like ketchup because it's a little bit sweet and a little bit vinegary.
Maybe you have ketchup. Autism. Truthfully, I think my mom, for not joking, like I think they thought for a long time I was on the spectrum. You know, I probably fit a lot of the characters.
There's a new thing that like everybody's on the spectrum, they say. Mm-hmm. That's what they say, like a small degree. Like some people aren't good at eye contact. Some people aren't good at... Yeah, there's a whole thing about that. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Oh, my God. I love ketchup. Your son and I. Good taste. He's got a good taste.
So your son is 18 now.
Yeah.
So this is something that obviously changed your life. I mean, when a kid is born, it changes your life anyway. But this was like a big hit for you, right?
Yeah, it was
a
tough thing. You know, you'll have like...
At what point do you find that the kid is autistic?
He's about 2.
Really?
Yeah.
So until then, he doesn't behave any differently?
Nope, same. And he had a little bit more language. He spoke a little bit more. And then they do what's called regress. They regress back. Less language, more sitting in the corner, more, you know. I will say this. If you've met one kid with autism, you've met one kid with autism. So it's a large spectrum. So don't send your angry emails to me. But in my case, yeah, he would regress and sit in the corner. We thought he was deaf for a while. We thought, yeah, you test a few things. Yep.
Man.
So, yeah.
And that tests you, too. This is a big test in life, you know?
Yeah, of course, because as a father, you've got dreams for your son, for sports or for whatever. And so, yeah. So I've got 2 kids. I've got a daughter and a son, and so that was my son. And so, yeah, it's a tough road. But everybody has their stuff.
Them, right?
Of
right.
course.
Yeah, wow. So now, is he living with you now?
No, he lives in a specialized... My son needs 24-hour care, and so now that he's 18... He moved into his own residential. They have 4 residents and then 8 staff members that rotate through. He needs 24-hour care. There's like different levels of disability.
And you can't possibly provide that.
Is he here?
No, he's in Sweden. Now his mom, I don't know if you remember this part, but his mom is half Swedish, half Sri Lankan.
Yeah.
And as we just transitioned him over there.
Is the health care industry much better?
It's ridiculous
Sweden?
Over there.
Yeah.
It's not. It's night and day.
Yeah.
So right now it's, you know, it's a tough thing because his mom just passed, and so it's tough decisions trying to make. But for right now, we're going to keep him there for a little bit till we figure out what to do. I was there, so I do some touring in Europe for comedy, and then I go see him. And so I was there in June, I was there in August, I was there in September, and I'll be there in November. And so
that's awesome. That's more easier. Often than I see my son, and he's only in
San Francisco. I know.
What the hell, man? Good for you. You know what a great father. And you know, I mean, now I understand why you want to do a lot to make people laugh and to give to people, because. You know, I mean, this is something that makes you, like, humble, right? I mean...
Well, it brings you to your knees, that's for sure. Yeah.
Right? It does bring you to your knees, man. And you have to look up and go, what's going on, right?
That's
I
it.
Mean, do you have any faith in God?
Or yeah, I'm a God
like
guy.
That? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And people need to understand, though, that if you're not really into God... try to be on the bottom once, like really hit bottom,
there's
right?
A, what's it? There's no atheists in the foxhole. Yeah.
That's true, right? I mean, Rachel, when nothing else is left, you look up and you go, God, please help me.
Well, that's why, for me, like, I went through a brief, like, atheist, like, period of time, I guess. And but that was, like, when I was, you know, coming out of being in all of these religious schools and... You know, and I just like was like, enough, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't think any of this is. But as I've gotten older and as like I've traveled around and just like as life has gone on for me, it's like it seems a little unfair for me to assume it seems a little naive for me to be like there's just absolutely nothing. And like I said, we have this talk a lot, like I'm comfortable with my agnosticness or whatever,
right.
Of just being comfortable with the unknown. And like I do believe there is something, you know, the universe or the higher power, if you will, but like I just, you know, I don't put them into labels or boxes, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, so. I know, and I just wish that you never have to get to a point where you look for God.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Because it's often we have, unfortunately, we have to get pretty desperate to finally look and look for that. But you know what, you were talking about atheism, and that's very interesting because we had a guest here who is a friend of someone I know. He was visiting here from Brazil. He made a movie called Godless. Mm-hmm. He's an atheist, born Jewish, mm-hmm. and his mother became atheist also. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is we were talking. It was so interesting, and we ran out of time that we invited him back the next day. He was visiting here.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a lot about this and stuff. And one of the things he mentioned is, think about it, there's never been an atheist president and probably never will be in the near future, you
right.
know, because we are a God country, you know. I mean, we have it in our money, we have it,
right.
in the, you know. So
it's part of our culture, but also I think when religion is some, like, it helps people identify with you in a way.
Right.
Like, I think it.
But note, I didn't mention religion. I mentioned.
No,
God.
I meant like.
I was gonna say that. Just like there's a big distinction between I have a really hard time with religion because I have a really hard time with religion.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, but then that's a different step. That religion's the part where you have a hard part with human beings trying to connect with God.
Right.
Okay. But then, God is a separate. It's its own thing.
Right.
Yeah, so.
No, I mean, I think for people, it would be disheartening for people to want to, for a president to not to be atheist. Like,
right.
I agree with you. I
right,
think
right.
you know, it would be an
because it's just not acceptable to us. But yet, we never really talk about it. It's so interesting.
Well, we've never had a Jewish president.
Right.
Either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's maybe by design or something. I don't know.
Maybe we should. Maybe, you know, financially we would be doing a little bit better. I don't know.
You've heard it right here, people. Rachel's running for president. She's going to be our first female
right,
and Jewish
president. Actually,
who's
really,
that now?
Me.
She's running for
oh,
president.
Rachel.
Rachel's running
I
for president.
I could never do it. I realized with all the cannabis pictures that are on the internet.
It's legal.
Well, there's not federally, but
but maybe look, maybe when you're like 50,
it will be
55.
I would never want that job.
And
are you
wanna,
kidding?
Yeah, that's
that,
true.
Are you kidding?
Who
do you think
that?
They'd be like, "Hey, me in the White House, can I smoke in here?
Yeah,
can I hotbox the Oval
But I'll
office?
Bet you the in 2050 or something, it'll probably be
the
like
stoner
that,
president,
you know?
Right? Yeah. Tommy Chong for president, you know. Exactly.
Who
listen, you're yeah. laughing, but stranger things have
I know.
Happened.
Listen,
like,
what, like yeah. that's why, honestly, with the state of our world now, anyone can do anything. Anyone
right.
can do whatever the fuck they want. I'm telling you. It just
yeah.
believe in yourself.
We're, if you're just joining us, we're joined by Kirk Smith, comedian, actor, writer. So, yeah, you wrote a book as well. We'll talk about the book in a little bit as well. But So you do a lot of things. Now, you said you got into... So what brought you to L.A.?
Showbiz, such a cliche. But I was living in New York. I had moved to New York because there was a special autism school there for my son. We were there 5-6 years. And it was a good school. It didn't exactly work for him. And then as he transitioned out and realized it wasn't going to work for him, then I moved to L.A. Yeah, and so for showbiz, eventually you got to get butts in seats. And so yeah, I'm out here trying to make it work.
Yeah, good for you. But I mean, the fact is that you're going after something that's not a sure thing.
Oh, for sure not a sure thing.
Doesn't pay a lot. But you're doing this because that's what you love, you know, and there's the inspiration.
You got to take your shots in life, yeah.
You really do, right? Yeah. You only get to do it once, yeah. Man.
I want to, if it doesn't work out, I don't want it to be because I didn't try. I tried it. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
But exactly.
Yeah, give it a shot. Know,
yeah, yeah. And besides, yeah. Who decides when you stop trying? You
That's
know
the
I'm
other
saying?
Thing.
Well, you honestly don't stop. Like, because, yeah. Okay, because the girl who had, Tori, the girl who had my position before me, like, she had been doing... How long has she been trying to...
10 years here in LA.
10 years here in LA.
Trying to get into comedy and acting and
hosting.
Yeah,
and the reason she got this job, she was just cold calling around. I read her story. Cold calling around LA for radio jobs. And Sam, she...
No, that wasn't it.
That wasn't
I found her on Craigslist.
Oh,
no,
you found her on that one?
Different list.
I thought that that was a different thing. That maybe it was... But anyway, she
you
got...
found her on Craigslist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, yeah. She found you on... She found your listing?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what it was. Part she was going around trying to find a radio gig, and she found you on
Craigslist.
Okay,
you just said cold calling, and I thought you meant that
she
was.
She was going. She was calling around LA, wow. And then she found your gig.
Gotcha.
I read her whole story. Trust.
Gotcha.
Because I was like very interested. You know, like so. Anyways, Tori got the job here doing radio, and then I guess she was up for what the job she has now, and she told Sam that if this one didn't do it, she was going to leave. And
yeah.
She now makes, she got booked on a national syndicated show and she makes 6 figures. So
that's great.
There you go. You see,
you
so
can't
you
give
can't,
up.
It can happen.
You can't give up, man. I mean, just think about it. What if you like dig a hole and you dig looking for oil, right? Then you finally go, you know what? The hell with it. There's nothing there. And what if like just a meter or two underneath that, that's where the oil is?
That's
you
know? The torture, right? That's what you always
right.
think.
Right. So you know, like in the cartoons and stuff, that's probably how
so
it happens,
true.
You know? But that's why, and it doesn't, it's not considered failure if you don't quit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're still doing it. You're still trying. You're still working on it. So you haven't failed.
Well, comedy, to be honest, it's about takes usually about 15 years.
Really?
Yeah. There's, I mean, there's people.
So
that,
you have the patience.
I don't know. What else do I have to do? It's fine.
Yep. What else do I have to do?
It's going
to
be fun.
Good. That's
yeah.
true.
So when I'm 45.
There's some people that are exceptions that just break through.
I think it's
but for the
honestly,
normal person,
I think it's for male comics and for
that's
female comics.
I don't want to say that, but that's the truth.
It's different. Like, I would hate to be a male comic, but...
There's a lot more male comics, so it's harder to break
there's,
through.
Yeah, it's different for males than it is females.
What do you
like,
think? 5-1? I'm serious.
For every 5 male
yeah.
comics, there's, if not, that's like on a good,
one?
Yeah, 10-1. Like you'll look
so
on,
like
we talked about this. Well, you look at any show at any of the big comedy clubs and there's literally 10 dudes and maybe one female. Sometimes they don't even put a female comic on the show. It's just a show of all dudes. So
that's amazing because sometimes, I mean, it seems like all I see is females, but maybe it's because I'm following you and,
that's,
and
yeah,
Lisa. And
right.
Them.
Because
yeah.
that's because.
The pretty funny
exactly.
women. Exactly. That's what
if
I'm
you
following.
Look, go follow any of like Comedy Store, Hollywood Improv.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
even like any haha flappers,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
they some of them do a little bit better job, and some you know, but yeah, you'll see manly male.
Even
comics.
if they book it pretty fair, like half and half or whatever, the guys usually been doing it 8 years, and the girls been doing it 3 or whatever, because
yeah.
there's less women.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's just how it works.
Right.
Wow.
There's less women pursuing comedy. That's making
yeah.
them less funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And the question
Which
is
makes
why
the
less
odds
are
better for
it.
Me.
Exactly. You have a better niche for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Much
and
better.
And that's
shot.
The thing. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's good to. To like to be the minority, and then you realize, hey, let me take a turn here. Let mm-hmm. me think outside the box mm-hmm. and decide that I'm going to get a niche rather than try to catch everybody.
Right.
I have a niche. Now look at you. You have a niche with comedy and weed, mm-hmm. so that's what people expect from you, but you become an expert at it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I do have, like, you're right. There is, like, I have my niche, if you will, or whatever, but... And it's weird because, like, as time goes on and as weed becomes more mainstream, there are becoming, like, I applied to, I went and did an audition yesterday for a cannabis and news thing, and then I also applied for another weed show for All Deaf Digital. I mean, they're trying to mainstream this movement. Right. And luckily, like, there's not many girls who look like me who can smoke weed on camera and still perform and do whatever. So, yeah, I've somehow figured this weird market out. But I also don't want to just confine myself in a box either, because, like, I do, you know. Yeah. Not just be about cannabis.
No, exactly. You don't want to be like pigeonholed as this is like a one-trick pony type of thing.
Like, I agree with you. I'll be that weed comedian, but like if I don't have to be, I can just be a comedian too, you know?
Right. So what about you, Kirk? Do you dabble in weed? And
no, it's not for me.
No, not for you. Right? Not for you, you know? I mean, there's one person that's... dependent on something.
I realized I have very few friends that don't consume cannabis, but like, and I try to keep that very, so like, it's good. Like, I only honor those spots in my life. I have about three in rotation, you know, right? Like, I only have room for...
To keep a good mix, you know?
Right, yeah.
Well-balanced mix.
Somebody's got to be the designated driver.
Exactly. It's true.
So, growing up in South America, did you have siblings?
Yes, four of us.
Is it, or is it central? South or central?
I lived in both. I lived, Ecuador's in south,
right,
and El Salvador's in central.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I lived in both. Four siblings, yeah. I have one brother that's a missionary. He works with the poor down there in the slums. I have another brother who's a stockbroker. And a sister who's a nurse.
Oh, my gosh. I think I've seen...
This whole
I'm
family
such a creep,
is like...
But I've definitely seen a picture of all of Kirk's family. And I was like, they just like all are good looking. Like, how does this... How does it just come out? Like, you know, like at least in one family, there's like one child that's like... You know, but like your
that's
dad...
Me.
Your
that's
dad,
the worst
no. No, but the thing, his dad is a very handsome grandpa, you know?
Yeah,
Gilf, if you will.
He's definitely a grandpa.
He is. Yeah, he's a very attractive, you know... Older man.
Yeah,
he's much older.
But all your family is really put yourselves out there to help other people.
Not my brother. He's a stockbroker.
Yeah, he's a stockbroker. So he's one. Okay, maybe he's the one who's
making money.
The black sheep.
He's making some real money.
Yeah, there you go. You know, he's like laughing all the way to the bank. You guys, go ahead, make fun of me. You know,
you guys serve people.
Yeah, go and
serve myself.
Go live in the fucking slums. You know, I live up here in New York. You know. Wow. Where, does he live in New York? Where does he live?
He's in Dallas.
In Dallas,
you can live like a king. You can live like...
Sure. Oh. It's so cheap there, no?
So
really?
Cheap. For $1 million, you can build a brand new 8,000 square foot house.
They were
house.
Saying... I was listening to NPR. Like, they were saying Dallas, unfortunately, Houston, Las Vegas. Like, these were... when LA got too expensive, that's where people were moving, is Houston, Dallas, Vegas,
and
Seattle.
Right,
which is
right.
Weird, because Seattle, I think, is... if not the same or more expensive, but there was like a lot more opportunity and jobs for them
when they moved
up there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of high tech going on there. So there you go.
But also it's like super affordable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know, but it's so Seattle, you're saying, is affordable.
No, Seattle isn't, but
is
like the other places,
right.
But they were saying there were more job opportunities up in Seattle.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, whenever I get sad at night, if I had a rough week, I go on realtor.com. Like 30 minutes outside of Dallas, you can still buy a house for $60,000.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's disgusting. That's,
you know what? These
that
are
was
the
my
prices
salary.
In the 70s.
My corporate salary.
Yeah, I remember I lived in Vegas in the 70s, and when my uncle bought a house, it was about $60,000-$70,000.
Yeah, your mortgage is $300. It's like a Camry. It's like buying a Camry now.
Right. I know the car payments were probably like $50 a month or something.
Yeah.
You know? The cars cost like $7,000. They bought them for cash at the time, you know? You didn't even need car payments. I don't think they had car payments.
It's a different time.
Different freaking time. I'm like dating myself like a motherfucker, but you know what? Whoever, it's not a secret, you know. I get on the air every day, you know. But I'm just thinking, you know, when you reach my age, that's 27 years from now, right? You're 30?
She won't
tell. Okay. No. When you're my age, that's 27 fucking years. I'm going to be 84.
We're still going to be doing this show here.
I'm fucking talking gonna be shit 84. To each other. What the fuck?
There'll be flying cars going by.
I know. I don't. That's the. I was thinking about when I was driving back from Vegas over the weekend. I was like, you know, I could really go for a self-driving car right now. I would love to just sit back, smoke a joint.
Now I remember why I'm friends with Kirk, because he would have driven right now.
Right, exactly. I'm like, God damn it, Kirk. Why was he out of town for this? No, but I was like, when they make that transition, like, is it some cars are going to be self-driving and then some are people are going to be driving? So, like,
yeah,
how is that going to work?
Yeah, there's going to be a mix in the beginning, I think. I'm pretty sure.
And then is it like...
Because already you have those cars driving within regular traffic now when they're testing them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. But, I mean, think about it. Did you ever see how that the car sees the traffic and, like, how the computer sees it? Like, how the camera, it, like, focuses on all the different... Just like on your camera where you can zoom in on the people's faces.
Yeah, it sees it.
You know, and stuff. The same thing. So it sees all the things that are happening. Like, this is a car on the right. This is a car on the left. This is the lane. You know, this is the... And it looks at all these things and figures all this in, like, split seconds.
Yeah.
You know? And just imagine that we, as people... are able to do that. You know, isn't... So when you tell me, I don't know if there's God, I'm like, you know, who the hell would have invented something like this where we're able to think in such a way and we weren't even adapted at moving so fast in nature. You know what I'm saying? Like driving, flying airplanes, shit like that. Mm-hmm. We weren't meant to fly that fast. So when we have the ability to actually manage those vehicles... It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it really is.
I don't think that's God. I think that's Tesla. But
no, that's true. But I'm going back to the atoms, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going
for
back
sure.
to the beginning.
For sure.
No, I don't know. But that's the thing. You see, look, like I don't, like religion, for example, they have Rosh Hashanah and stuff. I didn't go to temple because I never go to temple. So why would I go
on
the holiday,
right? For me, every day
right?
is a high holiday.
No,
yeah.
you know,
it's
but
new year?
But what I'm saying,
no,
it, it's
well,
a
yeah,
new
yeah,
year.
It's
yeah.
a new year. Yeah,
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 it's a new year. And but this doesn't make me any less Jewish, or doesn't make me love my
background.
Let me tell
you something.
Any less.
I will. This Jewish high holidays, they're all great, gorgeous, or whatever. but I will say this: I can't handle Yom Kippur. Like, I just truthfully don't think God would want me to fast.
Right.
You know, like
yeah.
I there's.
I know. I've.
I just have to eat. You know, and like I've. God wouldn't want me to, you know, he would be like, eat that cheeseburger.
Look, on the one hand, I figure, you know,
okay.
what's wrong with fasting once a year? You let your body rest, right? And you cleanse and stuff.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that. And that's
low
the point
blood sugar.
Of it. That's the point of it. No, well, if you have problems, then okay.
Well, that was the thing is growing
you
up, like,
you don't have to.
I tried to do it.
Right.
Because, like, I went to Hebrew day school for 10 years and my mom would take me to temple and stuff. And then, but, like, I would always see her with Cheerios and I thought she was, like, breaking the God rules and everything. And, but that's, like, I was. Where I learned, you know, she would get sick, and I was like, okay, God understands, you know, so I'm just not gonna do this.
But
different,
that's
different
thing,
rules
you know,
for different people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so much to say about this topic, you know, that we'll have you come back and we'll talk about more like serious stuff and stuff.
I'm
like
an
that,
expert
you know?
On the Jewish high holidays.
You, it,
really?
I mean, look at him. Like he said, sending people to border patrol.
How can you be? You came you from know? A missionary family,
right?
you know?
Fair enough.
That's amazing.
Kirk Smith, super Jewish.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Before, before your family became missionaries and things, when did it start? At what generation did it start? I mean, was your grandfather like this?
This is funny. My great-grandfather was one of the first missionaries to Africa in 1918.
You're kidding.
No. To Liberia and was the area that's the Ivory Coast, but it was called something else back then. But yeah. Right after the great, there was like a great flu influenza. Man, I'm dating myself. I know this stuff. But there was a great, it was called the Spanish flu. It was like a big problem. All over the world, a bunch of people died.
Yeah,
I'm oversimplifying. He survived, and he felt called to go to Africa as a missionary. He's my great grandfather, who was, this was in 1918 or something
18?
Like that. Yeah,
wow, that's amazing.
So you come from a family of missionaries, basically.
Yeah, to telling jokes to drunk strangers. That's my.
Well,
decision.
You kind of are like a humor missionary. Like you're giving
I feel
service.
Like I'm bringing joy.
You're offering a service in a way, you know, and not asking for any. You give yourself and not asking for.
Oh,
anything
believe me,
return.
There's nothing in return out
you
here.
Know?
You're not making any money out here.
So that is a form of service.
And
I believe,
that
you
plus,
know?
I mean, look, the biggest responsibility you have, which is your son. done, I think that's hard work enough. You know what I'm saying? That's giving a lot.
Life is complicated.
That's given, yes, that's giving a lot of yourself. You
know? Like Patch Adams, like he was, you know, that movie. Like he, his job was to go around to like sick kids and make them laugh. Right? They were terminally ill. You know? It's a service.
I know.
I'm a clown.
You basically are Patch Adams.
I'm a word clown. Right?
That's funny, but I mean, those people were important, those court jesters and stuff, you know, making the kings laugh.
Could say truth to power.
Right?
That's That's the only people that could talk truth to power. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Talk truth to power. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can go to anybody and make them laugh and insult them at the same time.
If you're good and you want, if you want to, and I think that's the skill. Here's the thing about comedy, right?
I think you know what? Now it makes sense why roasting happens in the first place. They have all those roasts, right? Because you can roast a president or a vice president or I don't know, like somebody big that they always roast, right? Because I mean, how do you dare do this? But you do because it's laughter, right?
It better be funny.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, if not, it's just mean.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So did you ever like study comedy like structurally, logically, scientifically, more than just like in an artistic way?
There's no real, as far as I know, there's no, I mean, there's a few books. There's a few good books, two or three good books.
And there's classes too, right? Like Lisa has a class.
She doesn't teach you to be funny, but like Lisa's class is kind of like a safe place for especially women, like we said, because it is very much a man's world of community. What isn't, but like specifically comedy, it can be very intimidating. So Lisa, she doesn't necessarily teach you, I mean, she'll give you information on types of jokes, but it's like every week we go home, we write, and then come back and show our material. So again, you're not really studying like comedy theory or whatever.
Gotcha.
And like you said, there are books. Like I like reading about, you know, books about comedy, but it's you just get better by writing and doing mics and just doing it. Because that's really where you learn.
So you teach yourself, kind of?
I would add that you it really helps to hang out with funny people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Seriously, because they'll help you tag your jokes. You'll watch what they're doing. Obviously, you're not stealing jokes, but you're seeing what they're doing, like how they're doing it. They're setting it up. You're seeing the misdirection. You're seeing, okay, the mannerisms. There's a lot of little tricks that you watch somebody really good, and you're like, okay, I see what he's doing. Like, when you really get into it, she's not wrong.
But that's what I did for a whole year when I worked for Levity.
That's
when
I was watching.
Every day for a whole year, I was watching comedy clips every fucking day.
You learn a lot.
And then I would be and when I bartended at the Improv, I was watching live comedy all the time. So like, that's exactly right. You learn style. You almost know when you watch enough comedy, you already know the punchline.
Right.
Like if you already, you know what I mean? So
if
you're a comic.
That's the thing, you know. I think in comedy it's, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of balls, okay? I mean, it takes a lot of ovaries,
real.
A lot of.
You can say balls. I'm not offended.
No. I mean, you know what I mean. So that's the thing.
They actually did fuck. I don't know if I told you. Did I tell you this? I went to the, when I first, I lost my license when I thought I was going to marry this guy a couple years ago when I lived here. And then we broke up. I moved out of his apartment. I was having a shit time. I went to go get gas and I lost my wallet and I was moving into my new place. I didn't have an ID. I had to go get an ID. So of course I had to go to the fucking DMV, the worst place in the world here in LA. So I unfortunately got caught up with like a sassy, mean DMV guy. And when I, got my license in the mail a couple of weeks later, I looked down and saw that he had put that I was a male. And I was like, this motherfucker got me back. I was having a shit day and he got an attitude with me and he fucked it up. And I was like, normally I wouldn't care. But like, it was right around when Bruce transitioned to Caitlyn. And I was like, I just don't need that kind of negativity in my life if I get pulled over by a cop and he's like, I don't believe you. You know what I mean?
Right. So, wow. Yeah. What a shit.
I forgot what the point of that was. But,
who cares, man?
You know? Smoke weed.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, it just sounded familiar. So I think he told it to me offline.
Yeah.
Off the air.
Mm-hmm.
But that's funny. So you call yourself an overall good dude. And
me?
I don't say that.
I'm just doing my best.
No, wait a minute. It's on your website. I'm reading it.
Oh.
You're an overall good dude.
Self-proclaimed.
And you are. You are. You know, I mean, so... let me ask you a little bit. Oh, so you have a podcast too. In the last few minutes, I want to give you some plugs and stuff.
Oh, that'd be great.
So where can people find you? How can people listen to you,
yeah,
see
please,
you?
Please find me on social media. I'm at Kirk Smith Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And I do have a podcast. It's called Autastic. It's a humor podcast about autism. I have an autistic son, and my buddy, Graham K., very funny comic, has an autistic brother. And we just talk about what's in the news. We talk about our weeks, what's going on as it relates to autism. And the people that like it really like it. We get about 30,000 people a month that listen to, like, it's a humor podcast about autism. It sounds crazy, but
yeah,
in the middle, yeah, people.
Yeah, well, you found the
niche.
But
there's a community. There's a whole autism community.
For sure,
you know, it's a huge community. So
exactly, and he found his niche because this is what he knows. This is
that's
what,
it. You gotta talk about what you know.
That's part of your life, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And one interesting thing is I read yesterday. Something interesting. I'm reading a book by Bill Nye, believe it
I've
or
heard
not.
Of him.
And he's pretty
science
liberal.
Guy?
Yeah. Bill Nye, the science guy.
Proud of you
he's
for that.
He's pretty liberal. Yeah. But I'll tell you why, though, because he also makes sense to me, right, in some things.
He's a science guy.
And he's scientific,
smart.
Exactly.
Smart guy.
So his latest book, he says, one of the chapters is titled, Everybody Knows Something That You Don't. And think about that. You know, I mean,
that's
don't
true.
Always think that you know everything because you can't possibly know everything better than everybody else, you know. And that's just the situation, you know. Also, go to KirkSmithComedian.com. You can get the book here. Is it available on Amazon? Things
yeah,
like
it's on
that
Amazon.
Too?
You can get it off my website, which I prefer because I make more money. But it is available on Amazon.
Then why not go on his friggin' website?
Go to his website, guys.
Exactly. Buy the book or buy for the iPhone or iPad. Rice Krispies with Ketchup, A Comedian's Journey with an Autistic Son. And it sounds, I mean, so you put your story together.
Yeah, it's
your
20,
life story.
Yeah, it's 20 short stories, and it's just funny and encouraging. And you don't have to have an autistic son to get it. It's just jokes. And so, like, on the road, I'll sell. If you see me do an hour of comedy and you laughed at the jokes, you'll like the book.
Really?
Yeah, you don't have to have an autistic
son.
Sounds
good.
Yeah.
And where can people see you? You say you travel and stuff.
I'm at Ha Tonight. October 1st, I'm at Flappers that weekend. And October 7th, I'm at the Ice House in Pasadena. If you want tickets, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, send me a message and I can add you to the guest list. So if you want to come out.
I'm coming at least to the Ice House.
You
love
have to
the
go
ice
see
house.
Him. He's so funny.
I love the Ice House.
He's
when
he's
are you
great.
At the Ice House again? October
17th.
17th. Okay.
That'll be a full show, so let's do it. Let's organize it. Yeah.
Okay, so remind us. We'll promote it and stuff.
Okay,
why
that'd
not?
Be great.
You, know,
sure.
You can even come back again before you do it.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Very Kirk great. Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Of course, you're amazing, and I told you we'd have fun here. You don't have to. Here, you don't have to worry about it, you
right.
know. We always have fun here. And don't forget to listen to Rachel coming up in 10 minutes, folks. And the bud, indeed. Go find yourself a bud, light it up.
Smoke.
First, put it in the grinder.
Smoke your best bud with your best bud.
Yeah. I mean, if you saw any of Rachel's videos, you see her like grinding her things, grinding the weed. You know, laying it out, showing you how to roll.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys got to catch
it's very
that
educational.
Because Wolfie Comedy is the place to be, right? And Wolfie
yeah.
memes,
yep.
too. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow, Friday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.